I'm really excited to be here. I really appreciate what this BSU's meant to me in the not only this past year, but in the years since, or in the years before that. It's been really neat how much I've really gotten a lot of help and training. But I'd like to everything that has happened is I'd like to give the glory to God and stuff that He seems to be working through my life. I know that before I went up there that Max had told me that Montana is not the end of the earth, but you could see it from there. And I realized that in fulfillment of the Great Commission, at least I could see the fulfillment of it from a distance anyway. And I know in Acts 1:8 it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And if you kind of add in there the New International Version, it says to the ends of the earth, you know. So, you know, making the Great Commission being fulfilled to the ends of the earth up in Montana, although it's not the end, but you can see it. I know that a lot of times I was thinking, you know, when you get missionaries to come and speak or people from a different part of the country, they always bring little outfits, or they wear something in. So I thought, well, what could I wear in, you know, and I'd burn up in here. So wearing some kind of boots or something. So I thought, well, they usually tell you about the language, you know, if it's Spanish, and they'll speak some words to you and tell you what they mean. So I'll just sit wearing something in, I'll just tell you some of the language up there, and I'll translate it for you. One word they use up there is you guys. And I'll translate it. It translates, it means y'all. So if you understand that. Another word they use up there is you betcha. And that's translated yes or yeah, you know, down here in Okie Talk. And another word is by golly. And, you know, due to the fact that there's much of the meaning of this word lost in the translation, it's into its proper tense in the Okie language. We must therefore render it untranslatable, so we'll just go with by golly. So, by golly, it's good to be here. I know that I've really been looking forward to this and just being able to fellowship and to talk with you and just to see everybody and to be able to meet a few new people. One thing I'd like to share with just briefly is how God began to prepare me to go up there to Montana. And He really started speaking to me in this particular verse in Jeremiah 12:5. I believe it was Dana Weingartner that first shared this with me. But it really spoke to me when he shared it with me. And the verse says, if you have run with footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in a land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? And I thought, you know, here I am at OU, and I'm trying to keep up with footmen. And if I can't keep up with footmen, how can I expect to go to somewhere where I don't even know that there's going to be footmen to keep up with? That might be horses for me to keep up with. So I thought, if I'm going to be able to walk with God up there in Montana, I've got to start right now here while I'm at OU. And so that verse really hit me that the things that I wanted in my life while I was there, I needed to start trying to get them into my life right now. And this was back a little over a year ago that I started praying about being able to go to Montana. And then God really started speaking to me at the Glen last year. I had a really neat opportunity to go to the Glen. And He really started using that time, the time alone with God, that you can go up and sit on the rocks and enjoy the view, but also the time that you can really get close to Him. It doesn't mean that you can't get close to Him here, but it means that you can block out a lot of the hustle and bustle of the school and stuff and get really close to Him there. I know I was really challenged there when I went by the fact that you're going to get to go skiing, and by the fact that when you ride the chairlift, you'll be able to share with people in the chairlift. And I promise you, you have a captive audience. I haven't found anybody that jumped yet. And when I was in Montana, I got one or two chances to ski up there. It's just for ministry purposes, though, you know. But on the same standpoint, you know, if you ride single on the chairlift and get to share with people, then you can figure out how long, about 8-minute chairlift, and work your testimony down to about that, you know. But there's one guy a couple of months ago that I started sharing with, and I thought either he was going to push me or I was going to have to jump, one or the other, he was going to jump. But sometimes you run across people that don't accept it. But it was really a challenge. That was one of the first times I ever really started sharing with people on a regular basis on the ski slope and stuff. But you can do it any time in your classes. I shared with the guy today on campus. It was really neat. I was just sitting there, and he just walked up to me, and he said, after he left, he said, when he started to leave, he said, "I don't know why I came over and talked to you." But anyway, it was really neat. Found out he was a Christian, though. So just in, you know, your everyday life, that if you start developing that as a lifestyle. But before I started going up there, I got kind of scared. You know, I thought, you know, there's really not much way that God can use me. And I thought, you know, here I am, I've grown up on a farm and done some ranching for my dad and just gone through school, didn't have any kind of major that was, you know, really big, I thought anyway. And I thought, now how can God use something like me? I can't sing, can barely talk, can't even write my name hardly. So I thought, you know, how can God use someone like me? And so I got to thinking, you know, how God used Moses, and in Exodus 3 and 4, in those chapters, you know, you can go back and read how God prepares people. You know, God doesn't call the able, He enables those He calls. And it's really, really neat to me to realize, you know, that God prepared Moses for ministry. But some neat verses that spoke to me while I was at the Glen is Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "But I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Alas, Lord God, behold, I did not know how to speak, and this was me. God, I don't know how to speak, because I'm a youth.'" You know, here I am. I'm just 24 years old now. I'm a youth. And I think, you know, maybe one of the great theologians over here could correct me. I think the youth go up to about 40 years old. Is that what it is? Okay. "But I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord stretched out His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overflow, to build and to plant.'" So God seemed to comfort me with those verses. And then I thought, well, God, I'm going to be leaving everything I ever knew here in Oklahoma. And He brought me to some more verses in Mark 10, 29 and 30. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, in the age to come, eternal life." So, you know, along with this, God gave me promises to stand on, that He's going to reward me, and I can promise you He has. He has given me more brothers and sisters up there than I ever even dreamed of. I ran into a situation that only God can get glory for, and things that are happening up there that I can only give Him glory for. And one thing, though, that God really impressed me in this whole idea of discipleship or going up there and working with the BSU is this idea of prayer. And I really think this is a super neat thing you got going on here with prayer. That's just very challenging. But the idea God laid on my heart to get the names of every single person in the BSU up there and to pray over them on a daily basis. And so I started back in the summer praying over the names on a daily basis. And I didn't know them. I didn't know what they looked like. So what I did was I got some verses out of Scripture to pray for them. And one of them was Colossians 1, 9 through 10. And there's a lot of Scripture prayers that you can pray. You know, John 17 is what Jesus prayed. So there's a lot of Scripture prayers you can pray for people. You don't have to know all their needs, you know. If you know their name, you know, you can pray for them. One thing that I had some trouble with is just God reassuring me while I was going up there. And He said, He really spoke to me out of Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, 12 and 13 says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example to those who believe." And so I thought, well, you know, there's another promise that I can hang on to. And then, I thought, well, I don't have the ability that I need. You know, I need I'm not able to do this. So God, you know, God just had to keep giving me verses, you know. And in 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6, it says, "And such confidence we have through Christ toward God." He said, you know, I'm going to be your confidence. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. And so God seemed to be saying to me, you know, I'm going to be your adequacy. I'm going to be your confidence. You know, you don't need to stand on the things that you've learned or that you've thought you've learned through school or through teaching or anything. And so he really comforted me with a lot of these verses. And so once I got up there, I was still struggling. You know, well, here I am. You know, what kind of guidance, you know, am I going to be able to give these people? And so he showed me a verse in Psalm 78, 72. One of my favorite characters in the Old Testament is David. And this is speaking of David. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. So I thought, you know, that's the way. You know, if I can visualize and study David's life and see how he shepherded God's people, then, you know, that will be some insight to me on how maybe I can shepherd. He shepherded him with the integrity of his heart and guided him with his skillful hands. Along with this, I could think back, you know, how I was led. In Hebrews 13:7, it says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." And I realize that that's talking mainly, you know, about Stephen and when they stoned him, the result or the end of his life. But to me, the application of that verse was, remember how you were led. Remember how the people led you at the University of Oklahoma, at church. You know, remember how they led you. Like, for instance, if I get in a situation where I'm witnessing and it's, you know, a tense situation, I think back and think, well, you know, when I went with Ralph, what did he do in this situation? If I'm in a Bible study and we're talking about something, I think back and say, now, I've been in Bible studies with Carolyn. You know, what would Carolyn have done in this? And on down the line, you know, with, you know, I'd think through and think, you know, what would Max have done? And I think through, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. So my charge to you right here is that you observe the lives of those around you now. The key students, the staff. You know, Bill Yon is one of the neatest, has one of the neatest servant attitudes I've ever seen. You know, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. So be observant of the things around you now. And that doesn't mean to say that God's going to put you somewhere where you can't get any further training or anything, but just learn right now and learn why. You know, consider the result of their conduct. It didn't say just imitate their conduct. It says consider the result of it. One thing that that I try to really look at is in this area of, you know, how I was going to get some guidance is in Hebrews it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance of the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run the race with endurance set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." And so that's the main part of the verse I can see. If we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So for me personally, if I can keep my eyes fixed on Christ while I'm doing this, that it's so easy to get up there and say, you know, all the students, you know, come to BSU, you know. Come to BSU and be drawn into BSU. There's a lot of other campus organizations that are doing a really neat job. And come to BSU. I really got rebuked in this area a couple of weeks ago by a student. And it really hit me hard because I realized that the only reason I wanted her to be involved is so she could possibly do some stuff for BSU. And she said, "George, if I don't do that, you know, would you still love me as a person?" And I thought, you know, I had the wrong motive for drawing that girl into BSU. If I'd have been drawing her to Christ, then that probably wouldn't have happened. You know, I know in John 3, where John is asked, you know, "Are you the Christ? Are you the sent one?" And he says, you know, that he had been sent before him, that the bridegroom had been sent before the bride. And he was, the bridegroom was to draw the bride. The friend of the bridegroom was to draw the bride to the bridegroom. So in other words, what that means is that the friend, us right here, are to draw people into the church, into Christ. We're not to draw them to ourselves. And then the next verse is even the harder one, verse number 30. And it says, He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's very hard to swallow, especially for me, because you know, I like to get all the glory for things. And so some of the things that have really, really hit me hardest is how I need to draw people to Christ and not to George Callahan and not to an organization. And right now, to share with you a little bit more about what's going on up there in Montana, I'd like to introduce a really dear friend of mine. He's become my friend, deep friend up there. We've done a lot of stuff together. You know, we went fishing together. He took me and showed me around different parts of the state that's just in the area. We play basketball and racquetball. And he's a junior in graphics and design. He's the president of the state BSU and also the president of our BSU. We run on a little bit different system than the leadership team and ministry team, and it's run on an executive council. And so he's the president. I'd like to introduce right now Doyle Stuckey to you. Can you use this? Yeah.
Well, by golly, it's good to be here.
Does that help? Did y'all hear that? I don't like to be a conformist, so I'm not going to try and pick up that southern accent while I'm here, okay? It's good to be here, man. It is great to see all you people here. Our BSU group consists of about maybe 25 people up there in Montana, and this is just really neat. I didn't know there were any Christians down here. I met Arlen and Ralph, and, you know, that was debatable.
Oh, man.
No, seriously, they're all right. Ralph is too. Well, George brought me down here, and I appreciate that, George. Actually, the plane did, he didn't. To share my testimony and kind of what's going on in BSU there, and to let you know that there's Christians up in Montana also. That's north. Which way is north? Good, so I can point when I mean Montana, okay? So I'd like to share just a little bit about myself. I was raised in Kansas. I lived there for 14 years. And my parents, isn't that great of a state? I don't live there anymore. Anyway, my parents went to this Mennonite church there, and they took me along. And I went to Sunday school and church on occasion. I didn't really like it. You know, I didn't get much out of it and stuff like that. And when I was 10, my parents got a divorce. And that was really, really hard on me, because it seemed like my mom said, look how bad your dad is. My dad said, look how bad your mom is. You know, and maybe some of you here have gone through that. And throughout my life, except within the last 3 years, I've held some bitter feelings towards both of them. And but the Lord's worked those out. Praise Him for that. Both of them got remarried. And when I was a sophomore in high school, I was going into my sophomore year in high school, my stepdad and mom took off, and they drove, I don't know, through Utah. I could have been living in Utah. I could be a Mormon right now. And that's not, you know, I'm not saying anything bad against Mormons, you know. I just don't believe the way they do. And I just don't believe that some of them live to glorify God. But I could have lived in Utah. I could have lived up in Washington and Oregon. They called back and said, hey, we're moving to Bozeman, Montana. And I said, where's Bozeman, Montana? I don't even know where Montana is. I got out my little map, you know. And I was 14. I should have known that. But I said, I really don't want to go. And I did have the chance to stay in Kansas with my real dad. But my mom said, no, you're coming with us. Well, I praise the Lord for that. And that was God's plan. I wasn't a Christian then, but that was God's plan for me. And so throughout high school, I never got into drinking or smoking, using bad language. Well, I used bad language a little bit. Well, maybe I had one drink. I'm not proud of that, though. But I never really got into the bad scene. You know, I never got into drugs. Never tried that out. And I know, again, that the Lord had His hand on me, and He had a purpose for my life, but yet hadn't accepted Him as Lord. And through high school, I played basketball, and now I know that was a God-given ability. Everything I do is a God-given ability, And I took some of, like, we took state 2 years in a row, and I took some of that glory for myself. And then I graduated, and I went to MSU, and man, there was 500 other guys there just like me, and I was, you know, I was nothing. And well, that summer, after I'd graduated, my mom had been taking me to this church. It was a Southern Baptist church, and I had made the decision that I wasn't going to go there anymore. It just wasn't my bag. Church wasn't for me. God wasn't real to me. I believed there was a God, but He just wasn't real. So I'd made the decision in my life to not go to church anymore. And that decision was made. And for some reason, we had a tent revival meeting. It was going to be a week long. And I don't know why, but I made it each one of those nights. And the last night, I was sitting way in the back. And the guy, it's funny because the guy who had come to preach was down south there. He wasn't too bad. He wasn't bad at all. And but he'd got laryngitis up there, and so our pastor was preaching, and I know that in the church there was a lot of people praying for me, but I didn't know what was going to happen that night. And I can honestly say that it was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I was sitting in the back, and the altar call came, and I felt something inside me. It was like two dogs fighting. It was like something was trying to get in, something was trying to get out, and I started shivering. I mean, chill down the spine and everything. I did not do this. I did not pick myself up and walk up there to pray and accept Jesus Christ. He did it. It was the Holy Spirit giving me the power to do that. And I walked up there and I prayed this prayer to accept Jesus Christ into my heart. At the time, I really didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that God wanted me to take that step of faith. And I have to think back, did I really have a need? I mean, I wasn't in the drug scene. I really wasn't searching for anything. But you know what? It was my time. God's sovereignty. He wanted me then. And since then, it's been a new life for me. That was exciting, you know. And some people say, well, gosh, I don't have a great testimony. You know, He didn't just change my life around. Well, He changed my life around. I started loving people. I started going to church. I started trying to glorify God. I looked at people's lives and I said, there's a need in their life. They need Jesus Christ in their life. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to take that person and I'm going to put my life into them. Just because of what God did for me and how much He loves me. And so that's what I started doing. I started going to BSU. And I've been a Christian now for 3.5 years. And I've been involved in BSU for 3 years. And have really been committed to the Lord for 2 years. And, oh boy, it's been exciting. It really has. I'd like to share just a little bit how the Lord led me to come up here. 2 months ago, George said, Doyle, how'd you like to go to Oklahoma? And he said, you know, the dates. And I kind of laughed in his face, you know, because this is the week before finals for us. And didn't think much about it. And he kept hitting me up with this question. And the time got closer about a month ago. You know, he asked me again. And still, I had almost made the decision, well, I'm not going to go. And the reasons were, is because it's the week before finals. That's the worst time. And you all know that. That's the worst time to be leaving your school and your studies and stuff. I would have had to get my professor's consent. I didn't have any money. And I still don't have the money to go to school next quarter, but I know that God's going to provide. So I didn't have any money. I didn't have my professor's consent. I had to get off work. And the timing was just terrible. And I almost made the decision not to come. And my stepdad isn't a Christian. And George said, well, maybe you ought to go talk to your parents. Maybe you ought to get their consent, because it wouldn't be very good if, you know, here you're struggling to go through school and you spend this money that they don't know where you got, and, you know, you're going to be struggling to go to school. And you just take off and run to Oklahoma. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. And I went and talked to my parents. And my mom's a Christian. She said, you know, that's great. You know, if you pull it off, go. And I was really going to weigh my dad's opinion heavily. And I asked him, and he said, yeah, I think you ought to go. And so it was that time that I decided I better really put this to prayer. And God worked miracles, because I'm here tonight. And let me tell you, I started talking to my professors. And, you know, I'd like to take off, you know, for 3 days during the week before finals. You know, what do you think? Well, where are you going? Going to Oklahoma. Well, what for? And I thought, well, I really don't have a specific purpose, but, you know, well, let me explain it to you. I'm going down there because I'm involved in Baptist Student Union here at MSU and like to go down there and meet people on staff and the students and all that kind of stuff, you know. And, man, I could just tell them all that stuff about Jesus Christ. And it was exciting. It was really exciting. They thought, wow, that's great. You know, that's great. They didn't know what it all meant, but that's great. You know, go down there and see those people. They really need help down. No, they didn't say that. But, you know, so I got to share with all my professors, and I got all their consent. Yeah, you know, it's okay. We'll work things out. And I got off of work, you know, so that was okay. And so there was a couple things left. I didn't have the money, and I had a lot to do before I left. And finally, the Saturday, I guess it was last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, all the money came in. It's amazing. And I know this trip cost over $400 for me. And the Lord provided it all. That's a miracle. That's God's hand in this. And when that money came in, you know, I thought, man, I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to be there. I'm going to Oklahoma with George. All right. Good times. By golly. That's the first two times I've ever said that, I bet. But anyway, so I gave it all over to the Lord. I spent the last 10 days before I came up here, at least till 2 o'clock in the morning, getting up at 6:30 or 7 o'clock. And I can't do that. I normally need 8 hours of sleep, but the Lord just strengthened me each day. Yeah, and I'd pray and God would strengthen me, and I'd get through the project. You know, I'm a terrible typewriter, and I get through this, you know, terrible typer, and I get through, you know, typing this paper and stuff, and I'd lay down for a little bit, and I said, Lord, I got more to do. He'd strengthen me. It was just super neat, and you're all going through that now, or you're just about over with, I guess. You know how He just strengthens you through tests and stuff? And so the Lord just worked it all out where I could be here. And, you know, I know that this is I was talking to, I think, Arlen today, and he said that going to the Glen is probably one of your biggest events of the year. And yeah, I've never been to the Glen. I'm going to go there for a couple of days, and then I have to fly back and take finals. Joy. I'm excited about it, though. But anyway, I'd like to challenge you. If you're thinking about going there, I know that, and I went through this too, because, you know, go to a week-long conference, come on, you know. That's going to be a drag. I got a lot of stuff to do. I don't think I will. I don't have the money anyway. Have you prayed about it? Have you really earnestly seek God's hand in it? Maybe He wants you to go. Maybe there's, I don't know, maybe there's nobody here that is even making that decision right now. Maybe you've all made the decision. But if you made the decision to stay, or you're deciding yet to go, go. Because if you let God work in you, He can change your life. And just by hearing about some of the people that are going to be there, and, you know, I've read their books and stuff, but I haven't met many of them, it's going to be exciting. I'm just going to be there for 2 days, but I'm looking forward to it. I'd just like to share a verse with you that really meant a lot to me, like when I was coming up here and stuff. And that's Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at His disciples and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." That's so true. All things are possible with God. Because I'm here tonight only because God made it possible for me to be here. Thank you.
What's called plan ahead.
Get some lights off here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to show you a couple of slides of what's going on up there. There you go. This is a place that's called Highlight Lake. Highlight. And one thing that I like to do, though, is a challenge that was given to me before I went up there. I talked to Lewis Hill, And he challenged me. He said, Lewis, I said, if I have only one objective to accomplish, one purpose, what would that be? And he said, George, make sure you're still walking with God at the end of the year. And so I thought, now, how can I do that? And the way I can do that is to get away from things, even get away from students for a while, and to come up to a place like this and just spend some time alone with God. And Max also challenged me to do that, to take out a couple hours or maybe even half a day or a whole day to get away from things. And you have the retreat center out here that you can do that with as well. Okay, Rod, if you could. Okay, this is another picture of it. Okay, next slide. And you might recognize a couple of these people here. Ralph, you need to get, can you see that?
Yeah.
This is Jim Barnett on the left, and he's helping me lead a Bible study this quarter. Montana State's on a quarter system, which is a little bit different than the semester system. We'll start a new quarter about the last week of March. And this is up at a place called Big Sky, Montana. Okay, next slide, please. And this is our one of our events, cross-country skiing. And I just learned how that day. And Lynette Trimble's on your left, Jim. And then Debbie Guy. And Keith Reed. Doyle didn't say much about Keith Reed, but Keith Reed is the guy staying right next to me. And he accepted Christ when Ralph and Arlen was there. As a matter of fact, it was the meeting that Ralph spoke at. And right now, Doyle is really, and I want you to be in prayer for this too, at their time together. Keith's going to get married this next summer, I believe, isn't it, next summer? And Doyle's getting some really neat times with him, and they're going through a Bible study booklet called One-on-One with God. It's written by Jerry Fine. And so they're really getting some neat time together. Keith is... helped me do some stuff. He helped me cut Christmas trees and stuff, and helped me cut some wood for the pastor. And so we've gotten some good time, but pray for him and Doyle and their time together and his growth as well. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is our intramural basketball team. Jim's on the left. Okay, these two guys in between Jim Barnett and myself right here are non-Christians. And so we had a really neat time talking with them and sharing with them as well. And so you might pray for them too. This is Derek and then Steve. And then the guy next to me on my, it'll be the left, the way I'm sitting down there, is Wayne. And he's not involved at BSU. You can pray for him. And then Doyle, pray for him as well. And then Lynn, his brother, and Russ. So out of that whole group, there's only three of us that are involved in BSU. So we're kind of using this as an outreach ministry as well. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is in my apartment. We only have one international that's really involved, and we have international retreat coming up on April the 1st through the 3rd, so you might pray that some more internationals could be drawn in on that. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is after one of our meetings, and Kim Hellickson, the girl in the red, she's on the executive council, and there's Keith and Gary Stark, who's engaged to Bobby Sue. She's not pictured here, but she's the assistant up there. So I'm going to be losing her as a girls worker this next year. So you can pray about that as well. Okay, next slide. All right, this is the executive council. I don't know if you can see that. I think I'm probably standing in people's way here too. Let's see, in the front, this is the best picture I could get of this. Arlen took this. I didn't have a flash either. Okay, on the left is Nancy Delger. She's in charge of publicity and putting out our brochure and stuff. And then Chris Peterson, she's in charge of the prayer ministry. And we meet on Friday mornings, every Friday morning at 7:15, and pray. And like last Friday, we met for a couple hours and prayed as well. And we met and prayed for those hours. You know, it wasn't just talking. I thought, man, these students are really committed. Because we had about 15 students there on a Friday night, and I thought, that is just neat. And then Kim Hellickson, on the far right at the bottom of the screen, she's in charge of the visitation. And be in prayer for her, because we're going to try to make another thrust as far as visitation and evangelism for this next quarter. Jim Barnett, he's in charge of the social activities like the cross-country skiing stuff. Doyle, and then Bobby Sue, excuse me, and then myself. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, this is the Bible study that Jim and I are leading, and this is right before a basketball game. You can tell I'm really dressed up for the occasion. Pray for our Bible study. We meet on Tuesday evenings, And Dave is in the white shirt. Phil Kane is on the far right, and he's really starting to take off. He's reading a lot of Leroy Imes books. So if you want to start changing your life a little bit too, you can pick up on some of his books too. Okay, next slide. All right, this is our prayer meeting. There's a Cam Lingo, and she's praying about going on the journeyman program. And so you might be in prayer for her, and then Nancy, and then Doyle again. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is a guy named Jeff Todd. He's a wrestler for Montana State, and he's just a super neat guy. He plays second in the Big Sky Conference, which is similar to Big Eights down here. And so he didn't get to go to Nationals. But pray for him, because he and I led a chapel service for the wrestling team, and he also leads a Bible study for the wrestling team. I think his Bible studies on Wednesday nights. So pray for him. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, this is my office and bookstore, as you can well see. But the girl pictured in the foreground is named Valerie Thurston, and she's going to go on summer missions this summer. I know you can't see her very good, but she's got some good books, though, anyway. Okay, next slide. I'm learning how to take pictures, too. Okay, this is Doyle's Bible study. It meets on Tuesday nights as well. Both mine and his are going through The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges, who we'll get to hear speak this next week. Okay, here's Keith and Doyle. And there's Doyle's roommate with the cowboy hat. And Grant Callant, who you can barely see pictured. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is Jeff Todd. He's the wrestler. And then Phil. And these two guys on the right are both wrestlers. The one on the far right's a powerlifter. And also, so pray for these two guys. They're both non-Christians. Dean Amston is in the white coat. And Drew Cloud is in the next to him. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is our banquet, our Secret Saints banquet. Kaigongi Bagori is going to go on summer missions this summer. She's pictured right here. She's the international. She's the only international right now that's involved in BSU. Okay, next slide. Okay, these are a lot of the girls that went to the banquet. Okay, next slide. There's our eating our food. Next slide. Okay, this is the campus, Montana State. Okay, next slide. Okay, there's another picture of the campus. Okay, next slide. Another picture. Next slide. And another picture. Okay, now you've been taken around the whole campus. Okay, next slide. Okay, these are the dorms. I think this is Roski in North and South Hedges. Okay, so you can pray for all the students in those dorms that they'll be safe. Okay, and the mountains in the background. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is our summer missions interviews. The pastor's on the right. I'm not going to go around the table, but that's the interviews. Okay, next slide. Okay, these are our summer missionaries. This guy on the far left is named Mike Miner. He's from Butte, Montana. And Kaigongi, Kim, Nancy, and Chris. Those are our summer missionaries. Chris on the far right is going to Taiwan as a summer missionary this summer. Okay, next slide. Okay, these are the directors of the... Okay, the BSUs up there are coordinated from a four-state area, North and South Dakota, Wyoming, and Montana. And these are all the directors of that whole four-state area for all the colleges and the BSUs up there. Okay, next slide. Okay, these are all the campus ministers that are involved on campus, from Campus Crusade to Maranatha, InterVarsity, Navigators. And so there's a lot of really neat fellowship there as well. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is the church, one of two Southern Baptist churches. You can kind of see it there, the steeple on the right. And so pray for the churches. Their names is Kirkwood, and this is Four Corners Baptist. Okay, next slide. Okay, these are the campus in the evening. Okay, that's it. Okay, a few last things I'd like to share with you is you know, how you can help us and maybe how you can apply some of these things. You're saying, oh, yeah, that's all well and fine, you know, you're up there. But I know that there's ways that you can help us because you have a prayer ministry here, and I think that that's the base of a lot of things. And so if you can, if you just remember one of the person's names up there, you know, pray for them and see if you can pray for us. And I've got some brochures, and I've got just a couple of them so that if you want one, I'd like for you to take it to pray through it. And a verse that is very challenging to me, we wrote on the front, and it's out of the Amplified Version, Matthew 9:38. So pray the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust out into His harvest. So in other words, I'll tell you what, let's just take a look at that, Matthew 9:36-38. And seeing the multitudes, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." Leroy Imes says that verse as to kick out, to thrust out. So in other words, Jesus says, you guys pray for this, and then if you'll read on in chapter 10, He sends them out. So, in other words, if you pray for this, be prepared that God might send you out. And some things I'd like to share with you briefly is just the need. Some people don't see the urgency and the need of people going out. You can get very good training here, and you can be able to go out and help somewhere, you know, and it can be you as a lay person or anything. I'll just tell you, since I don't know that much about the United States, I'll start with Montana. How's that? In Montana, in 1980, the state population was 7,785,000. There's a guy named Bucky Smitten who is in charge of what's called a vigilante area, which is an area that the vigilantes rode through, and he's in charge of that area. And I talked to him this past week and got some figures on it. He's what we call a circuit riding preacher, so he's going around to all the towns that are in that area, and I talked to him and got some. He just started in January doing this, and he said that this area that he's doing in Montana is larger than Rhode Island. It's a third the size of Mississippi, and this area that this one guy is doing, he and his wife, has 14 towns. 8 of them have no church at all in them. Okay, 6 of those churches that have, only 3 of the pastors are full-time. The rest of them are just visiting. So, see, there's areas that, up there just in Montana that there's no Southern, not only any Southern Baptist work, but there's no churches at all. And this really shocked me. In this area, there's 7,000 people. 6,000 of them are unchurched. Okay, now you know, you might ask me, you know, well, what can I do? Well, the first thing I say is pray. And another area that's there, that's right close to where we are, 7 of the churches don't have pastors. Southern Baptist churches don't have pastors. And this is different than the vigilante area. Okay, as far as the university and colleges, there's Montana State at Bozeman. There's about 11 or 12,000 students there. There's Montana University in Missoula, and there's about the same number, maybe a little bit more. And there's East Central in Billings. All 3 of those have BSU directors on the campus. But there's a lot more universities than that. In Montana Tech at Butte, they don't have a BSU director at all. And Montana Tech at Butte is the guy, Mike Miner, that they have a BSU but no director. Okay, there's a college at Dillon, Montana that needs a director. There's a college at Haver, Montana that doesn't have a director. And the college at Haver, Montana, the thing about this is the only pastor, Southern Baptist pastor, is leaving next week. So in other words, there's not going to be any other Southern Baptist pastor or BSU director in that town at all, let alone the university. Okay, when I first arrived there, one of the first questions I was asked was, can you help out at Butte? And I had to pray about it, and I had to say no, because I didn't have time to drive 81 miles one way and come back and help out at another university. So there is a need up there, and I know you could go all over the United States or a lot of other places and find a need. And one thing that I'll share with you is some prerequisites that I found in order to have God to make you available for something like that, or just prerequisites to make you a disciple. And one of them is just to have a heart for God. In Psalm 73:25, it says, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee, and besides Thee I desire nothing on earth." So just to desire God and have a heart for people. Pray God will give you a disciple. So in the same area, twofold area of not only in ministry but also in being a disciple, is pray that you'll have a heart for people and that God will give you a disciple. And be available. You know, be available not only to them but to get some of the training. And one thing that really hit me was to know what you're making. You know, if you're going to make disciples and stuff, know what you're making. And in this area, I was challenged in my thinking when I went up there to highlight to pray one day, and I thought, you know, I've never even studied that word disciple out of Scripture. You know, I read a lot of stuff and heard a lot of people talk, but I never even studied that. So I got out my concordance and just looked up all the words, and there's about 200 or 300 of them, I think. But anyway, just looked them all up, and I thought, you know, how can I be a better disciple and make disciples from that? And some things that really hit me off of that is just the area of how much time Jesus spent. So this area of time that you're going to need to spend with people, and the area of how you're going to need to be conformed to Christ's image. I think it's Luke 6:40 that says a pupil is not above his disciple, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. A pupil is not above his teacher. I'm sorry. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone after he's been fully trained will be like his teacher. So we'll be like Jesus after we've been fully trained. If you forget everything else I say, remember this, that one of the prerequisites of you being a disciple or making a disciple is that you're walking with God. So one question that I often ask myself when I was here at OU was, how do I know that I'm still going to be walking with God next year? How do I know that I'm still going to be walking with God when I get out? And I thought about that and the conclusion I came to was the only way I'm going to know I'm going to be walking with God next year is to make sure I'm walking with Him right now. And so that hit me, you know, that I need to be walking with God right now, today. And if I'm going to be making disciples, I need to be doing it now, because that's the only guarantee I'll be able to do it a year from now, is if I'm doing it right now. And a verse that really challenged me in this area of getting to know God is Philippians 3:10. And it, out of the Amplified Version, it says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share in His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into the likeness, into His death and the hope." So this whole idea of walking with God, of getting to know God, of making disciples, discipleship on the frontier, all boils down to us walking with God right now. And so, you know, the challenge that I can make for you is that you're walking with God now, and to be that person that God's looking for. You know, it says in 2 Chronicles, "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that He may strongly support those who's truly His." And so just pray that God would make you that person. Let's have a word of prayer. God, I thank You so very much just for allowing me to share. And Lord, I pray that we'd make application to the Scriptures that we've heard. In Christ's name, amen.